Welcome back to Ask the Professor with Professor Stephen Rocklitz. I'm Georgia Peck from Canary Kitchen. Today we are going to be talking about hiatal hernia syndrome and vagus nerve imbalance, how they are related, and what other chronic health conditions are caused or exacerbated by these two conditions. Our question today is, how are the hiatal hernia and vagus nerve involved in chronic health problems? Before we begin this episode, I want to share a bit about my own health. I had been struggling with chronic pain and undiagnosed symptoms since age 14. Over the years, I visited so many doctors, naturopaths, and alternative healers, but none of them helped me, and some actually made me a lot worse. I never got a clear diagnosis, but I just kept searching for answers. After my high-risk pregnancy, I ended up with even more strange symptoms, and I pretty much lost hope of ever finding the root cause behind my problems. A month ago, I found Professor Stephen Rocklitz, and after reading his books and consulting with him, I now finally understand what has been going on with my body all these years. I have found real lasting pain relief, and most of my symptoms have now disappeared. I want to share what I have learned with the chronic illness community, and so I am here with Professor Rocklitz to answer your questions and provide information into the true nature of most chronic conditions and mystery symptoms. So let's get started with our main question today. Professor Steve, how are the hiatal hernia and vagus nerve involved in chronic health problems?
Thank you, Georgia. This is a fascinating topic, the hiatal hernia syndrome, as it's called, and vagus nerve imbalance. In fact, the subtitle of my book on this topic is The Most Common Health Syndrome in Mankind or Womankind. In doing this for 40 years, over 90% of the people that have come to see me with chronic health problems, chronic fatigue, chronic allergies, inflammatory problems, neurological 90% of the people that come to see me with applied kinesiology, I can quickly test and make corrections. Over 90% of the people that I've seen and have tested have this problem, telling you how it's an integral part of people who have chronic health problems, inflammatory problems. And just to give you like the subtitle of my book is, well, the full title is Hiatal Hernia Syndrome, Vagus Nerve Imbalance, the Most Common Health Syndrome in Mankind, with illustrated self-help corrections. But beneath that, it says, the syndrome that can cause or exacerbate reflux, asthma, anxiety, sleep apnea, hypertension, heart disease, allergies, fatigue, brain fog, and chronic pain. It might be particularly relevant. I know you're a young mother. And hiatal hernia is found in, I believe, in men as often as it is in women, though I haven't done a rigorous study, but certainly very relevant to someone like you, a young mother, because the pregnancy can cause or exacerbate hiatal hernia, and just the act of being squished, so to speak. Some people may literally have it from the moment they're born. But what is the hiatal hernia? The upper part of the stomach, called the fundus, ordinarily there's a hole in the diaphragm. The diaphragm is the breathing muscle below our lungs, and there's a little hole in it for the esophagus, and also the vagus nerve actually to go through this hole. And if it gets the hole is stretched or something causes the stomach to go up and like break through that hole a little bit. And so a part of the stomach may be trapped above the hole. All right. And most people have what's called a sliding hiatal hernia, that can go up and down, up or down. And there are ways we will see to talk about that. You can get it back down again, but the hiatal hernia and or the related vagus nerve imbalance is responsible for so many health problems. The key actually is the vagus nerve, because again, there are people who get x-rayed and they find a significant size hiatal hernia and they have almost no symptoms. And yet there's some people with a very small hiatal hernia and they have severe symptoms. That's because those people may already have an imbalanced vagus nerve. And my previous podcast, we talked about porphyria. We also briefly mentioned a hole in the heart. I have said that when hiatal hernia is involved with causing blood pressure problems and tachycardia, rapid heart rate, it usually means there's something else involved and something else predisposing, something else already imbalancing the vagus nerve. The vagus nerve is the 10th cranial nerve. It's also called the wanderer. At one point, they also called it the pneumogastric nerve because it involved with regulating the respiratory, the lungs and the stomach. But this nerve is a master nerve. Literally, vagus means wanderer because it has branches that go to all the visceral organs, the heart, lungs, the liver, kidneys, all the important visceral organs, and has a lot of nerve fibers in the stomach. So if there's anything not right with your stomach, if it's bloated, if, again, you have the hiatal hernia, which will certainly be stressing the stomach because part of it is forced to go through a little hole, then the vagus nerve will be very imbalanced. And if that's the case, it can then cause great imbalances, consider it to be over-energized, and cause great imbalance in other organs that its branches, are part of. Liver, heart, lungs, pancreas. So it's a master factor in causing so much chronic illness, causing or exacerbating. I believe my book was the first one to say that the hiatal hernia is intimately involved in causing sleep apnea, which is pandemic. Many people don't even know and may have chronic fatigue because they're in part because they have sleep apnea. If you get up numerous times during the night, if you do not feel refreshed when you wake up, and especially if you ever wake up in the middle of the night gasping, that's a sign of severe sleep apnea. Sleep apnea is pandemic. Heart problems, asthma, these can all be caused or exacerbated by the hiatal hernia and the concomitant vagus nerve imbalance. So it's quite crucial to understand this for just about anyone who has any chronic health problem, the fatigue, the inflammatory illnesses, and also anyone who has heart or lung problems, sleep apnea. I've had some of my people tell me one of the things to help with hiatal hernia is to elevate the bed, to either sleep, to elevate the whole bed at the top 6 to 9 inches by putting something underneath at the front of the bed, or to buy a sleeping wedge, which if you have chemical sensitivities, you would need it to outgas. So again, there's three, and immediately there's three parts of having the hiatal hernia. The stomach again is stressed, the diaphragm also, because again, the hole may be enlarged and the diaphragm is stressed, and the vagus nerve. Those are the three immediate parts of the body that are stressed or out of balance. But again, because the other branches of the vagus nerve go to all our important crucial visceral organs, you can end up, again, it's a leading cause of tachycardia and hypertension, either having a severe crisis or a continual problem. Lung problems, even if it's not a cause of such things as the emphysema, if the person also has it, it's an additional stress on their lungs and their diaphragm, and if it exists with someone who has something like emphysema, which usually is due to smoking, you can alleviate some of the suffering and even lengthen life just by working to get the stomach back down. And again, there are techniques to get the stomach back down. It's called the pull down, which again, I have a show in my book. But because that irritates a lot of people, I have other techniques, master trigger points that relax the heart and the lungs, and illustrated where those are and what to do. And sometimes those are so harmonizing that the stomach falls back down. You can even do things like drink as much water, a couple of glasses of water, and jump off, say, a stack of books, or if you're young and in good shape, off a chair, and the inertia can pull it down. Again, being a young mom there, it's important to realize the act of pregnancy is very likely to cause hiatal hernia or exacerbate it if one already exists. And again, how long might people have hiatal hernia? You could see how you might get it from birth, because being squished during the act of being born, certainly there's a fragile area, the little hole in the diaphragm. And so many people literally can have it from the moment of birth. The vagus nerve can be relaxed in numerous ways. There's point to tap near the wrist. You can also put like a cold gel pack around it. I think that goes back to an ancient Chinese who knew about this. And I believe they had ice or something cold, and they would put it on that point. And they have electrical devices now, and it's that very same point. For people that either get car sick or get nauseous, or also, again, women who are pregnant, it's that very same point near the wrist. But there are other things to do. People with gargling, they say, can actually calm the vagus nerve. Loud chanting or might possibly help also. It's important to know that just in the last year or so, I've made further breakthroughs regarding the hiatal hernia and vagus nerve imbalance syndrome. That I have, in addition to my book, which is out for a few years, I have two new ebooks, which are only available to people after they've gotten one of my hard copy books. But the two new hypotheses from me is that I show how the hiatal hernia and vagus nerve imbalance could be intimately involved in causing, in fact, maybe the main cause of type 2 diabetes. And another separate ebook, which you can find at the bottom of my homepage at my website, which is wellatlast.com. And so the second new, very new ebook is a role of the hiatal hernia in pericarditis. And the pericardium is the thin elastic membrane around the heart. And you can see if that gets inflamed or has some ends up having fluid in it, it can compress the heart and can cause serious problems. And it's fascinating that one of the primary symptoms of the pericarditis is a person gets all kinds of difficulty when they lie down to sleep. And that's also one of the known symptoms of hiatal hernia, that they don't feel good when they lie down. In fact, you have on my table when I see clients for many years now. I've been dealing with hiatal hernia for 36 years now. I often show people who are not even aware that they have this problem, that they lie flat on my table. I can muscle test that. And they almost, again, 90% of the people I've seen will test weak. And I put a wedge between them and the table and retest, and they test strong, indicating again that sleeping flat is not good for them. I once saw a documentary that showed during the Revolutionary War, the Americans rebelling against the so-called crown and living underground. And it actually, they found their dwellings and it had their beds, and the beds were like a half bed. The upper part of the body that slept against the wall, and it was just their feet on a short bed. And I remember the announcer saying, this is how people slept several hundred years ago. So that part of the body, and it's interesting how thousands of years ago, the ancient Greeks knew that people who had felt discomfort in that part of their body, okay, below the ribs, which we now know is likely, they were talking about hiatal hernia syndrome. And so what they, in their medical literature several thousand years ago, what they call hypochondria, it means below the ribs, okay? But in recent times, that has a connotation, it means it's all in your mind.
Wow.
Showing, again, that thousands of years ago, it's like in my books on porphyria, I say when you're feeling severe anxiety and things that even can be causing hypertension and tachycardia, to have in your freezer a cold gel pack and put that on your head immediately, as well as other things. Step away from the computer and the EMF and go to a cool, dark, quiet room. If you're having one of these hyper attacks, which could be due to porphyria, but the hiatal hernia and vagus nerve is intimately involved with that. And if people go to a cool, dark, quiet room without any light, without the EMF, and put the cold gel pack, I've had many people tell me we're about to call an ambulance. And again, if you think you're having a medical crisis, you should call the ambulance. So I'm not saying not to do that. But people who knew that having the frequent recurring attacks like this, anyway, so they tell me that putting the cold gel pack and doing these other things, then within 10 minutes or so, you know, they calmed down and got over it. And it's interesting, the ancient Greeks said for somebody who's like high anxiety and feeling sick, they call them a hothead. So a cold gel pack is a good thing to do for people that are can be hyper, have anxiety. But the hiatal hernia is a leading cause of serious, can be a leading cause of serious medical problems. Again, hypertension, tachycardia, all right? But it's important to never forget, again, what some physicians who have some wisdom say after seeing so many people with it, half the world has hiatal hernia. And if you're having these serious problems, it means you have something else additionally. And let me give you an example again with the vague master nerve, this vagus nerve. In an article that I believe I've already cited in previous podcasts, the 1957 article in the Irish Journal of Medical Science, Gibson, Parks, and Brennan published and tested people throughout Britain and Northern Ireland that declared porphyria is not a rare disorder. I have hypothesized that was a starting point with the powers that be, did everything from invent Alta Molecular Psychiatry and the Porphyria Foundations who are tasked with declaring that people do not have, you know, porphyria to underdiagnose it. And they used a normal threshold. And so today that's morphed into 10 times beyond the normal threshold. Those three physicians should have got the Nobel Prize in Medicine instead of shoved under the rug. Millions and maybe even billions would have been helped because it's a common disorder, which I declared in 2015. But in their seminal article, they took a woman, they only diagnosed her after she died, that she had porphyria. But to show you what that can do with the vagus nerve, they found a significant demyelination in her vagus nerve. You can imagine the anxiety and poor health that she had for much of her life. She was at least made it to her 70s, as I recall. But when the vagus nerve is that imbalanced, it must have been a pretty miserable existence. Obviously, it doesn't have to get that bad for people if they find out about hiatal hernia, vagus nerve imbalance, porphyria. The other thing that can be involved if people tend to have tachycardia or hypertension with the hiatal hernia is that they may have this the patent foramen ovale, the hole or tunnel between the two upper chambers of the heart, the atria, predisposes to that. And as you know, many people have all three, which again is why my big porphyria book does mention all of that. It's not just about porphyria. Let me give you three remarkable examples of the health benefit that can occur if you get the stomach back down. The first one, we're working on somebody who had hypoglycemia and actually took his blood sugar and it was 60, which is borderline hypoglycemia in the U.S. All right. I got the stomach back down and immediately retested him and immediately it went to 90. It showed when he took his blood sugars.
Wow.
And of course, again, I have that new ebook showing the connection to type 2 diabetes. Oh, and I had a student who took all my seminars, and when she learned that, she was getting diabetes and was having occasional bouts of high blood sugar up to 300 or so, and told me when she got it down, the stomach down, it went down to like dropped to half. Also, like immediately. So it's intimately involved, and again, in my new ebook on the connection to type 2 diabetes and vagus nerve imbalance, hiatal hernia, and porphyria. I talk about the fact that, you know, the pancreas is right there on the left side near the stomach. And so you looking at this from a point of view as a physicist, that it might be of some validity that the part of the vagus nerve, the nerves there in the stomach are getting imbalanced or hyper, And so that nerve has extra energy and the pancreas is right there, where it may dump some of that extra energy. So the pancreas is not working properly. All right. This is not anything clinical or, you know, so it's just a hypothesis, but it's a remarkable one that I have tested on numerous people, so that diabetes could be intimately connected to hiatal hernia and vagus nerve imbalance. Another remarkable example was working on somebody, and it's rather quick to, you can quickly check somebody's body temperature, you know, shine the thermometer that uses LED, illuminate the person's forehead and get the temperature quickly. So I had someone play with severe cold hands and feet and feeling very cold, and he didn't fit the typical thyroid blood test, didn't seem to be definitive, but he sure suffered with that. Anyway, so working on him, his temperature was really quite low at that point, like 94.7, and we got the stomach back down, which is easy to do with the different methods in my book, and it went immediately to like 98.2.
Wow.
Immediately. And he felt better, of course, and people do feel a lot better when you get the stomach back down. If you do it gently, you can get in there and do it too rough and make people sick and feel worse, which again is why I have these trigger points, that because they relax the heart and the lungs so much that it ends up giving feedback and the stomach can drop on its own. All right, and let me give a third example. So we've already seen how blood sugar and body temperature can be reset to normal almost instantly when you get the, you fix the hiatal hernia.
Yeah.
Another example showing the relationship to stress is I had a client who, sure enough, you know, I tested, he had a hiatal hernia, and I got it back down. It didn't stay long with him. And one thing that was like on the back of his mind, he was into holistic health and he was having high blood pressure. And his doctor is like stressing him, trying to force him. And he didn't want to take drugs. So I found a fascinating thing. It's like that was on the back of his mind. So as soon as he would think about it, I ended up retesting it. Sure enough, it seems like the stomach would scoot right back up. And so I did something that I never forgot, that I got the stomach back down and I could test it was back down. And I held my two hands where I could feel where it was now in the proper place. And I put some pressure on his abdomen and I said, okay, I'm going to try to hold it back down. So maybe we can fix this problem this way. Think again of, having to take the blood pressure pills. And I thought I would be successful, but the body, nothing I could do. I felt it scoot past my hands, the stomach right back up where it shouldn't be.
Wow.
Reminded me of the movie, the original Alien movie, where the guy's feeling sick and throwing up, and next thing you know, the alien comes out of his stomach. Nothing, couldn't stop it. I couldn't stop it. Of course, it may involve the following. There's one hypothesis, and I think it's quite accurate. It's in my book, that it's actually the longitudinal muscle of the esophagus contracts, and that pulls the stomach up. Okay, so there's one hypothesis that fats and oils are intimately involved with causing that longitudinal muscle of the esophagus to contract, pulling the stomach up. Because the one physician found, you remove the gallbladder, and a lot of people that play with hiatal hernia seem to get better. That's also intimately involved with blood sugar problems too, because that's involved when people get the surgery. For people who are very obese and get the stomach reduction surgery, they say diabetes and gallbladder. Well, they often take the gallbladder out at the same time. So all that's involved, and it's in my ebook. Let me see what else. And infants, kinesiologists and the chiropractors who do kinesiology, a lot of times a very sickly infant, shortly after birth, and things like croup and other things, are some people say that's involved with hiatal hernia. And the chiropractor or kinesiologist will, if they decide to do this, will very gently with a pinky get in that area, you know, below the xiphoid process, which is the bottom tip of the sternum, you know, the central bone between the ribs, between the left and right, in the center there, that tip is the xiphoid process. So just below that is a spot where, you know, can use to muscle test if it exists, and you get in there very gently and pull it down. So the sickly baby that some, you know, can do this correction shortly after birth, if it's done, of course, very appropriately and very gently. So the baby may be born with it, may have it entire life and not find out about it until they, you know, get much older and sicker. And again, I do believe that by the 40s, half the world has the syndrome. I strongly recommend people don't rush to do surgery if you find you have this, because you might think that all they do get the stomach back down, sew up the hole in the diaphragm, but they don't do it. They actually wrap the upper part of the stomach around the esophagus, and after you do that, nothing is right anymore. You can't throw up if your life depended on it, and we often throw up because we're eating something bad, and the body's wisdom makes us throw up. And people report doing it really didn't fix their symptoms. I would imagine the vagus nerve will then permanently be out of balance.
Yeah.
There's new theories related to vagus nerve imbalance that's truly fascinating. Just in the last few years, they're saying that Parkinson's, which again, you live long enough, you might get the Alzheimer's or the Parkinson's, that Parkinson involves the vagus nerve. And again, another new theory saying obesity intimately involved, or feeling hungry right after you eat, and is intimately involved with a vagus nerve imbalance, a hyper excited vagus nerve. I noticed one of the common symptoms of porphyria, and of course hypoglycemia, which again is intimately involved, those two with each other, that people feel hungry often soon after eating. So, and a lot of times people say they have hypoglycemia, and they may, but when I test people, it often shows it's actually a stomach problem and porphyria problem. But that's something, again, anyone who suspects hypoglycemia can get a 5-hour glucose tolerance test where you drink the dextrose solution. It's a corn sugar. And they first check your blood sugars every half hour. And then after, I think, 3 hours, then they do it every hour. And with the porphyric and the, quote, hypoglycemic, they often go up very quickly and too high, and come crashing back down also very quickly, and often end up lower than where they were at the fasting state, which you shouldn't be. If you have normal blood sugar metabolism and assimilation, or normal sugar, anyway, normal responses to the sugar, you would slowly go up and you would plateau and slowly come down, a downward slanting plateau. But the hypoglycemic / porphyric goes up very sharply, very quickly, comes crashing down anywhere from 1 to 3 hours, and ends up lower than they were when they were fasting. That's why it's called reactive hypoglycemia. But I have no doubt it's intimately involved with porphyria and the vagus nerve imbalance. And sure enough, as they get older, someone who's skinny and has hypoglycemia, they get older and obese, they can have the diabetes. And these probably were porphyrics all along, and probably had, again, the vagus nerve all along. Feeling hungry shortly after eating may or may not be hypoglycemia. It may be the stomach, the vagus nerve, porphyria, or both. Let me see if there was anything else I wanted to note. So it's crucial, if you have any chronic health problem, to learn about the hiatal hernia and vagus nerve imbalance. Learn how to, you can quickly correct these things. Of course, you can get an x-ray, either an endoscopy or the upper GI series, to check for hiatal hernia. But beware of the drugs. I certainly would recommend to have second thought about taking any of these reflux drugs. They cause horrendous side effects, and don't get at the cause of the problem. And again, food allergies our food sensitivities are also an integral part. The inflammatory foods, if people don't know, for any inflammatory illness, and technically this is one, to avoid what's called the pro-inflammatory foods. In my own opinion, I would say that would include nuts, nightshades, meats, grains. I would certainly include MSG. But, you know, so some of the same foods that can cause arthritis, like tomato, potato, eggplant, peppers, can also be involved with hiatal hernia. Food sensitivity testing is very important if you have this. And of course, and again, it's important to remember, as I go over great length of my allergies and candida book about the allergy addiction syndrome, that our favorite foods are often our worst allergy. Allergies in quotes, because it may not be the classic antigen antibody reaction, it'll be a porphyric reaction. So I use a general term of abnormal reaction. So we often, our favorite foods that we have to eat every day, we feel we have to eat every day, or even can't stop eating once we start, those we are likely to react to. I saw one comedian talk about a weight loss method. Eat all you want of things you don't like. Because again, things we crave, either have to have it every day or can't stop eating it once we start, are likely to be allergic or porphyric foods for us. Do you have any questions?
So would you say that hiatal hernia and vagus nerve imbalance are involved in something like POTS syndrome?
I would think very much so. Again, it certainly can affect blood pressure, adrenal function, very much so. That's a classical example, in my opinion, of that it can cause those symptoms.
Right.
And probably, you think of President Kennedy, who had severe adrenal dysfunction at different times in his life and was on the cortisone. Of course, he did a lot of things with his diet that he, you know, aggravate the underlying porphyria, which I have asserted with virtually 100% certainty that he had. Occasional alcohol, caffeine in the morning, tobacco, a cigar. So he did a lot of things that are notorious for causing problems for people with porphyria, whether diagnosed or not. But the POTS, certainly vagus nerve imbalance, is, you know, an integral part of a lot of illnesses, and the POTS is certainly likely to be one. But they, again, could have the porphyria, likely, in my opinion, because, again, the physicians that have any wisdom say, for someone who's, they find hiatal hernia, and the person has severe cardiac problems, and they say everybody has hiatal hernia, that's probably not the sole cause of why your heart's, you know, acting up. And I do believe almost everyone I've seen with certain cardiac problems, atrial fibrillation, which I know a lot about, I have had it myself, atrial fibrillation, the supraventricular tachycardia, with most chronic cardiac problems, the hiatal hernia and the vagus nerve imbalance are intimately involved. And I do believe it is a starting point for cardiac degeneration and lung degeneration, the hiatal hernia and the concomitant vagus nerve imbalance. So these are crucial. And again, as you get older, probably over 50% by the time you reach 60. But again, people may have it literally from birth. Pregnant women, there's a good chance they'll get it due to the pregnancy. The baby born with it. If you have a sickly baby, I would certainly look into that. Because again, it's not going to show up, and it's not going to be fixed by magic pills from an orthodox doctor or a holistic doctor. This is, you know, you have to start learning energy balancing, energy testing, and energy balancing. It's a must. And so people would do well for themselves, their babies, to get my books and learn how to do these things themselves. You can even, in my porphyria book, there's even a reflexology chart that the region on the sole of the foot for the solar plexus, when that is rubbed, there's often a great release of stress and ill feeling, along again with the different corrections for the vagus nerve that are in my book. So this is an overarching factor. In fact, I remember one practitioner said, and I believe it's even borne out by the that they have these heart monitors, heart testing, to note the statistical interpretation of an EKG, and they have found that the vagus nerve imbalance really relates to how long we're going to live. So that's in my book. I quote that I believe, again, that's, I believe, based on evidence after the fact, statistical studies. The hiatal hernia and vagus nerve imbalance intimately linked to longevity, to how long we're going to live. So definitely a crucial thing to look into, to learn how to test, to learn how to balance, as well as my hiatal hernia book, of course, has the crucial trigger points for any heart problem, because they supposedly reflex back to the coronary arteries, and those are between the ribs on the front of the body, and on the back, on the shoulder blade, points that relate to opening up the chest so the person breathes better. Again, with this time now, with the virus and the respiratory problems, the orthodoxy will never do these things, but it could have immediate help, benefit for people having severe respiratory problems. I mean, they need to do all the other things they're doing, but this is a safe method that can often work wonders. I certainly have done it for people with asthma. It really can open up the chest immediately and literally can save somebody's life. So the chest locks up, and the variation of asthma that people have, and a lot of people don't even know they have it. They may be tired. They can't exercise. They say officially, I think in the U.S., 13% of people have asthma. And I have asserted, I believe it's twice as high. Because again, the usual way a physician checks by listening to your lungs, it won't show up. The better physicians, if they suspect it at all, have a spirometer in their office to breathe out into. And when you do a forceful exhalation, you can finally, a really forceful exhalation, you might finally hear the wheezing. Of course, they have the pulmonary function test in the hospital. But a lot of people walk around with mild asthma, which you can actually test how long you can hold your breath. It's in my books. Someone with severe asthma can't even hold their breath for 10 seconds. A mild asthma, somewhere between maybe 10 and 30 seconds. Somebody who doesn't have it at all should be able to hold their breath for 45 seconds or more. And so a lot of people can't do this. There's also breathing techniques that can help with the whole syndrome to learn to raise your carbon dioxide, which several of my books go into at great length. It's another hidden factor causing chronic illness, the Buteyko system, that people have low carbon dioxide levels, intimately involved with a lot of chronic inflammatory illness. But hiatal hernia is also, again, intimately involved with anxiety. You might say that's like the number one complaint. Of course, I've said that's also the number one complaint of porphyria. But hiatal hernia is intimately involved with porphyria. In fact, the very few porphyrics that I have seen that do not have hiatal hernia, they do not seem to have the systemic complaints that the porphyrics have. The blood sugar, the blood pressure, their essential organs being involved, gastrointestinal. They have almost always just mental symptoms, all the way up to full-blown paranoia, schizophrenia. That excess porphyrins only go to certain little areas in their brain, and I do believe, and the difference is they don't have the hiatal hernia. If you have the excess porphyrins or the heme, the episodic heme deficiency, it's going to cause a problem somewhere or other. And if you have the vagus nerve being severely imbalanced, it can cause almost any symptom. And all most of your organs, your visceral organs, and again, commonly causes nauseousness, vomiting, which again are quite common during pregnancy.
Yeah.
I wish every pregnant woman, would know, how to test and balance their hiatal hernia and vagus nerve, and of course, as far as a newborn. That's a very precarious thing to do. That might be best left to the physicians that might want to do that. But at least to be aware of it, that again, it can probably has occurred in a significant percentage of babies that are born getting squished during birth. And because it's a very fragile area, a little hole in the diaphragm for the esophagus. So very easy for the stomach to push through the upper part of the stomach. And you can have this problem, even if you're very thin. Someone who's obese probably has a much larger one, which would be more problematic. But there are people, that's how I know that there's something else going on. Because if someone has only a very small hiatal hernia, if they get either the upper GI x-ray or the endoscopy, and they have only a very small one, yet they have severe symptoms, it almost certainly means that they've got the porphyria or the hole in the heart and need to deal with that. I actually can tell. I remember seeing one client who was thin, and the gentleman was thin and often wearing like a tight T-shirt. I remember him like coming down my long hallway and starting to talk to me long before he got to where I was seated. And, because I like called out, how you doing? And he said, well, you know, I haven't been. I said, let me stop you. Because he's wearing a tight T-shirt, I can see the little bulge like an inch below his xiphoid process. And so I said, okay, you're going to tell me you haven't been so well. Because I could see he had the hiatal hernia, his stomach was up.
Yeah.
I could see that from 20 feet away. But somebody's overweight, you're not going to be able to see that. And it's probably more problematic than somebody who's overweight. And it's a vicious cycle. Having this problem, again, relates to overeating. It probably, again, the vagus nerve is severely out of balance with very new research and hypotheses linking the vagus nerve imbalance to Parkinson's, to what's called hyperphagia, greatly increased food intake. The person's hungry all the time. They've had all kinds of other theories on that. All right. It may simply be, you know, vagus nerve. It's a vicious cycle because, again, you overeat, that makes your hiatal hernia worse.
Yeah.
So it's a true vicious cycle that you have to learn to change. But everything from elevating the top of the bed or getting a bed wedge to change the food allergy testing to the illustrated corrections for the hernia, for the vagus nerve, and for the diaphragm. There's ways of correcting all of that. In my hiatal hernia syndrome vagus nerve imbalance book. So this is an overarching factor in chronic illness, inflammatory illness, and many, many problems, obesity, neurological problems, I do believe systemic, arthritic, inflammatory illnesses, allergies, obviously in porphyria. I'm sure in the mast cell disease, because that's secondary to the porphyria. So I would strongly urge people, that's an inexpensive book at my website, to go to wellatlast.com and look for that. So I urge everybody to look into hiatal hernia syndrome, vagus nerve imbalance, and save yourself years of suffering and lengthen your life, because again, it's been documented that the vagus nerve problem relates to longevity.
Well, thank you for all this information, Professor Steve. It has been great learning about all this, and I think a lot of people will find this to be a missing link in the information that they have about their health.
Thank you, Georgia, for doing these podcasts with me.